you're going to say life is a mission trip, then the question obviously is, what's the mission? And this might be as good an answer as there is in the scripture. First Micah begins by saying, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're hearing first from our middle schoolers and now from our middle school coordinator, Kelly Carl. Come.
Good morning. We made it back from our fourth middle school mission trip, one of many. I'm just going to speak very quickly and give you some of the details of where we went and what we did. I really want the kids to be able to speak from their hearts about what they experienced. Our mission trip for the middle schoolers has grown every year. We had 19 kids and 4 very brave and very appreciated parents coming to chaperone. Went to Duluth, Minnesota, right on Lake Superior, a beautiful location. And as we always have in the past, we partnered with YouthWorks. It's an organization that has planted themselves in cities around the country, and they are already connected with all the local organizations that need our help. So when we show up, it's very much a work hard, play hard mentality. We get up early, we go out to our different work sites, and each person gets to experience a different type of work. You don't do the same thing all week. We did everything from working in soup kitchens, doing yard work for the elderly, painting decks and fences, playing with kids at the Boys and Girls Club, visiting nursing homes. So a great balance of labor and relational work. Each evening, we got to go to a different part of the city and do something fun as a group. So that's very much the play hard, which most of those pictures are. And as I thought about what I wanted to say today, I usually come back with one moment to share with the congregation. And actually, my moment was after we got back. The kids had all gone home. I was at the gas station filling up one of our rental vans, which my middle schoolers had lovingly decorated with window markers. And it was, what would Jesus do, and God loves you, and crosses, and wave for Jesus. And the guy behind me at the gas station said, what would Jesus do? And I was so exhausted. I said, he would take 19 kids on a mission trip, and then sleep in until noon. We ended up chatting, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. He was so impressed. He kept asking me questions. Well, how old were these kids? Where did you go? What did you do? And he got so excited. It was absolutely touching. And if any of the middle schoolers stay still long enough for you to read their shirt, on the front it says example. And that was my prayer for each and every one of these kids, that not only would they have a great mission trip week, but that they would take it home and be an example and an inspiration for others, kids, grown-ups, anybody. So even without them knowing it, they were an example for some stranger at the gas station who was in awe that I had these 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and that they did so much work from their heart for the Lord. So your inspiration has already started, and I'm so proud of each and every one of you.
Hello, my name is Matthew. Good morning. I would like to begin by saying that I was overjoyed that I was able to go on this trip because this is the thing for the youth group. And we did a lot of work at houses and things like that, but not all the work was physical labor. There was also social work, which was talking to the people that we worked for, talking to people that we met on the street, or in this case, talking to someone that we met in a soup kitchen. So we were at a soup kitchen to eat supper, and we all split up to find a place to sit. A small group of us sat down, and next to a woman who we later found out was named Christine Marie, who was saying to a man, "Okay, you can't see anything out of them. I can't see anything without them. Give me my glasses back." The man gave her her glasses back, then left. And we all said hello, and she started telling us about her life, like how she was made fun of because she was autistic. We said that that was not right, and she smiled and laughed. And she told us that she lived in what she called a hole in the wall full of spiders. She was deathly allergic to spiders. If she got bit by one, she would die. But she had found a way to keep them away by waving a magazine. And we said that we hoped that she did not get bit because she was a wonderful person. And then she told us how much it meant to her that we were listening to her and not making fun of her. And we said, we're just showing God's love. And then she asked us to pray for her, and we said we would. And she walked away laughing at how happy she was. And that's what the mission trip's really all about, making people happy. And keep Christine Marie in your prayers. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kylie, and this was my third mission trip. I'm just graduated from eighth grade this year, so this was a very special mission trip for me. Every year, I write about my mission trip in my Bible, and this year, I wrote the most I'd ever written. And I'd like to share a few things that I wrote in here. On Wednesday, when we were at the Boys and Girls Club in the afternoon, there was the chance to go ice skating because they have an ice rink at the Boys and Girls Club. So, of course, I love ice skating, so I went. And I saw this little girl who didn't really know how to skate. So it was her first time skating, and they have these little things that you can use to help you skate. And she was having trouble with that. So I skated up to her and I was like, "Do you want some help?" And she was like, "Yeah." So I was helping her skate along, and eventually they made her return her little thing because they thought she was doing well. So then we went around and she was holding my hands, and every time she would fall, I would say something like, "You know, every time we fall, God gives us the power to get back up. And he gives us another chance to try it again." And every time when I would say that, she would get back up and just be, like, smiling. And then, eventually, we went into the middle, and I said, "You know, God can help us do anything. He does lots of things. He's done lots of things for me. How about we'll try it on you?" So I told her to stand in the middle with her arms out and say, "God, help me stand alone." And that's what she did. She stood there for at least 10 seconds, just beaming. It was such an amazing moment for me, because I really saw a child's faith in God when that happened, and I saw God's work in that. Just such an amazing moment for me. We also did lots of things, like some of the fun things, swimming in Lake Superior. Freezing cold, but people enjoyed it. So the mission trip, I was really glad that I got to come this year, and I'm really sad that this is my last year in middle school. So, thank you.
So I want to thank Kelly and her advisor team, and would her advisor team stand up? Here's anything. While we're at it, I want to thank Andrew Mott, who's our high school youth coordinator. And stand up, Andrew. And the high school advisor team, too, for a weekend. Yeah, if you're going to be out on the edge of a limb where somebody's sawing off the limb, these are the people that you want to be on the edge of the limb with. That's sort of a backhanded compliment, isn't it? But... So the high school youth this year went to Sunset Gap, Tennessee, which I think there's a picture of the what the gap looks like. This is a community center, Presbyterian Community Center, that's been there since 1924, and I think that building is about that old. If there are any, we've been there four times now. Every 3 years we go to Sunset Gap because it's a great place to go. They do great work there, and it's just a beautiful location right in the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains. If you've been on one of these trips before, right in the foreground there is where you stayed, because the lovely building that we used to stay in, that formerly was the hospital there, burned down a couple of years ago. So things have changed a little bit at Sunset Gap. Sunset Gap offers a food pantry, they offer a thrift shop, and they do all kinds of housing and home repair and renovation, which is what our youth group went there to do. So I'd like to ask our youth speakers to come forward now for the high school crowd. We had 47 young people and 9 advisors on this year's trip, and I think we brought them all back, although we didn't count in the parking lot. So you're going to hear today from several folks about the mission trip experience, but also there will be some reflections, too, on 4 years of being part of the Wildfire group and the Wild Faith group before that, and a couple of our seniors are setting forth now into the world. But we're going to begin with Rachel Carl, who was on her first high school trip but has been on middle school mission trips.
Hello. So yesterday I came home from my first ever high school mission trip, and it was great. I did a lot of things that under normal circumstances I probably wouldn't have done. I jumped into the freezing cold water of Midnight Hole, so I guess both mission trips had a freezing cold water experience. And we went whitewater rafting, and we went down a redneck slip and slide. For those of you that don't know what that is, that's where you lay a black tarp on a hill, covered it in water and soap, and yeah. But all of that doesn't even include the work that I did. I climbed onto a roof and painted it, and the paint that we used had to be washed off with gasoline. That was not fun. And I went to a dump, and we threw rubble down a hill. And I also painted the house of a man who had passed away the week before we came there. His grandkids who had moved in didn't even know that we were coming to the house. But the very first thing that greeted us when we drove up to the old dirty house was a little Jack Russell Terrier, and his name was Skinnerd. And as we began to pet him, you could tell he was having the best day ever. It took us 3 days to paint that house, and the people living inside it barely talked to us. They said hi the first day and invited us to use their bathroom, but that was about it. And the daughter of the man who had passed away drove up on the second day and told us he would have been so excited to see his house being repainted, but that was about it. Now, we were not doing this for thanks by all means, but I couldn't help being a little discouraged. On the last day, when Alyssa and I walked around the house observing the finished product, it looked so good. It looked cleaner, newer, so much better than the dirty white house we saw the first day. And I could feel the owner of that house with us as we walked around it. I could picture the smile on his face as we walked past the door we didn't have to paint, but we did. And even though the grandchildren didn't come out to see the finished product or thank us at all, we did get a huge thank you that day from the owner, the dogs, and the little cat we played with through the window. And I can't think of a better lesson to be taught on my first mission trip than the fact that thank yous do not always come in the form of a thank you. They can take many different forms and are often not even spoken. And for that lesson, I thank this group.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Emily Erickson. I just finished my last year in this high school youth group. And if you know me at all, I'm not really much of a public speaker. I also cry a lot. So naturally, when Pastor Greg first asked me to speak, I was a bit petrified. I had no idea what to talk about or how to get my feelings across or even where to start, because honestly, this group means the world to me. So bear with me as I attempt to get through this. Trying to explain this group to someone else is harder than you might think. Those people in the orange sitting over there, that's my family. Putting the feelings I have towards these people into words is next to impossible. I certainly found this out last night trying to scramble something together to say for this morning. For me, this trip marked the conclusion of my senior year. Today, I have exactly 9 days until I leave for school, 1,000 miles away. It wasn't until the last couple days of mission trip that the theme of lasts constantly started popping into my head. My last mission trip, my last time waking up early to watch the sunrise, huddled in blankets with my best friends on retreat. My last time away from home until I'm really out on my own in the real world. My last rope. My last moments being in the group that has held me together these past 4 years. But then, late last night, I realized even though these might be my last moments in group, they aren't necessarily my last ones as a part of group. We will always be a small part of this group. Year after year, we are part of the continuing legacy, and some of our advisors are living proof of this. We'll Skype with our piece of rope on Sunday nights. We'll see each other on breaks, whenever we're home and whenever we visit one another. We'll go to each other's weddings and may even end up being there when each other's children are born. We don't know what the future will bring for us individually, but we do know that we are there for each other unconditionally, through thick and thin, ready to take our futures by the reins, never forgetting one another or the magic thing that ties us together for life. We were and still are a part of something special, something real. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Evan Peters, and this was my second mission trip. As some of you know, I'm the youngest of 5 kids, all Wildfire alumni. And of the 19 mission trips that have been taken, 18 of them have had a Peters on them. I remember being a little kid listening to my brother coming home from Sunset Gap 1, and I remember distinctly, for some reason, the way that the smile crept across his face when he was talking about the way that he flipped his raft and whitewater rafting and jumped into the river. And it was really pretty special when I found myself in the same river swimming around in the cold water. When I was a little kid, mission trip didn't really make sense to me because why on earth would you want to give up a week of your precious summer to go somewhere far away and work for strangers and out in the heat for pretty much no reason? To a 5-year-old, this seems like nothing short of insanity. 5-year-old me was right to an extent because mission trip is kind of insanity in itself. But I was also very wrong because there's many reasons for going on the mission trip. Those reasons aren't always plain to see, though, and that's why even as I was walking into the meeting for my first mission trip to DC a year ago, I still didn't really get it. I wanted to go on the mission trip because it seemed kind of like the thing to do, and even if I wouldn't have wanted to go, my mom would have made me go anyway. So my brothers had also done a remarkably good job of not really telling me what to expect, so I had no idea what I was getting myself into. You all know how the story ends. I went on the trip, and I had a great time. And I came home more aware of problems in society, better at working as part of a team, more confident, more proud in who I was, and yes, a little bit insane. Every aspect of this year's trip was very different from DC. I got my hands dirty, I painted, I hammered down nails, I crawled around underneath the trailer, and I used power tools. We didn't get to really interact with the people that we were working for either, which made it hard sometimes to find the motivation to do the work that we did. But our group unity and strength pulled through in the end. It's interesting to see how a simple task like hammering stakes into a piece of wood on the ground or something like that can become more about the pride taken in the work and less just a job. Everywhere I looked this week, I saw people who genuinely cared about the work that we were doing, taking pride in it, wanting to do it right, and wanting to see it through to the end, even though people that we were working for didn't really thank us at all. I think that speaks to the character of our group. Not only do we love each other enough to want to spend all the hours of a week with each other, we love the world and the people in it that God has created enough to want it to make it a better place. I think that at first, everyone in the group kind of does the work because everyone else is. But there's a point in the week where everyone gets it. And then we're helping the world to be a better place and helping ourselves figure out how to be better people at the same time. Being surrounded by some of your best friends in the world is just another perk. And that's pretty cool. Even though Sunset Gap was very different from my first mission trip experience, the effect is the same. I realize now my brothers aren't terrible about leaving details out, but that it's impossible to explain mission trip with words. It's something that you have to experience and feel, and then you understand. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jim Farley. This was my fourth and last mission trip as a youth. I learned about high school earlier this year with the most poignant tradition I have ever heard of. They have 19 bricks in the wall of their lobby, and each brick represents 4 years of life, one of which represents high school, and they add up to 76 years, the equivalent of the average lifespan. When I heard about this idea, I thought about the fact that I'm through 4.5 of my bricks. That really put life in perspective for me when I realized that 4/19 of my life are over and they're not coming back. But then I thought about what I've done with those 4.5 bricks, especially from the middle of the third brick onward. I've spent 4 years dealing with all of the nonsense of high school and preparing for the next 19th of my life. But those 4 years also saw me going to church, Sunday school, youth groups, and mission trips with WPC. I've lived life to the fullest through wildfire, between shirtless sledding, redneck slip and sliding, and taking impromptu walks to Lake Geneva on the fall retreat. I've experienced the existentialist dream with this group. This next part will probably feel unrelated at first, but don't worry, I'm bringing it back around. About 3 weeks ago, I got my first tattoo, right here. It's a quote from Virgil's Georgics that I know from one of my favorite novels, My Antonia by Willa Cather. It reads, "Optima dies prima fugit," which translates to, "The best days are first to flee." As far as I can tell, there are two distinct ways of interpreting this quote. You can see it as an observation of old age being immeasurably worse than days of youth. Or you can look at it in a more positive light, like I do. I believe that this line is a challenge, a command to recognize this moment, right now, is the best moment of the rest of my life, and I need to make the most of it. Each 19th of your life has the opportunity to be better than all of the rest if you make the most of it. I know that I have done that these last 4 years with this group. I suppose that I will close with the adopted words of a great man whom I've known my whole life and gone on 4 mission trips with. Life is short, and we have but little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel with us. So let us be swift to love and make haste to be kind. Thank you.
Hey, those aren't my words, Jim, but I just know a good quote when I hear one. Anyway, by now you know not to let the mission trip mohawk fool you, that we have young people of great depth and faith and love. And it's just a great privilege for me to have been able to watch them up close these many years. And so I'd like now to ask our seniors to come forward, our high school graduates, with their parents.